What's up, Whiskey Ginger fans? If you want to come see the Red Rocket live, come check me out. This weekend, I'm in Bridgeport, Connecticut at Stress Factory, June 13, 14, 15. Next weekend, I'm in La Jolla, San Diego, California at the Comedy Store, June 21, 22, 23. And then I will be in Lexington, Kentucky, Comedy Off-Broadway, July 11th, 12th, and 13th. Then I will be in Sacramento, California, July 18, 19, 20. Then I'll be in Montreal, Canada for Just for Laughs, doing two shows of my own on the 24th and the 25th. And then on the 26th, I'll be doing a Whiskey Ginger live in Montreal. And then August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I'm in the St. Louis Helium in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at andrewsantino.com. Spread the word, spread the love. Come check me out, baby.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It's Tim Dillon. Look at this, huh?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I think it's day 7.
What happened when you got here? Name the first thing that happened. Did you get a modeling contract?
People told me to leave.
get the fuck out.
There was a group of people in West Hollywood who came to the house like Frankenstein and basically slammed on the door and said, no, nothing. I mean, everything here is boring.
Yeah.
It's, you know, all these people that think like, LA's evil. It's a pedophile cult. It's this, it's that. It's really just vapid and boring.
Yeah.
It's not this nefarious thing. It's just people just walking around eating Pokeballs.
A lot of Pokeballs.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, but there are a lot of like child sex cults and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm
you
sure.
just gotta know where to go.
You gotta know where to go.
Yeah. You haven't been privy to that yet.
I'm not privy to anything.
Yeah, we'll get you around.
I'm doing spots at the Improv Lab. No, I do some main rooms. I'm doing some main room spots. I know it's tough. It's tough. In you're the beginning, it's tough.
No, but you're not in the beginning. You came from a level in New York where you were already successful. Now you're kind of... Oh, LA makes people semi-start over. You have to like semi-start over. Even if you're successful somewhere else, you come here and LA's like...
Well, I got to start over in every way.
But New York would do that to us.
Yeah, well, yeah, to an extent. I mean, I think now with the podcast, you can do whatever you're doing from anywhere.
Yeah.
But I got to make new friends. I got to make new, you know...
How many friends do you think you need?
I just want people who have large homes and pools. I mean, let me define friend in the way that I would like to define friend.
Yeah, please.
A friend to me...
Does he have a pool? You have a pool?
No. And that's why he's on probation. A friend to me is somebody that you can really sink your teeth into and suck the blood and the marrow out of them.
Right.
Until, you know, it's no longer beneficial. And then you have to move on to another host. I'm living right
You're
now...
You're a parasite.
I'm living in a $2 million home because a woman, a friend of mine's family is dissolving. Yeah. Her family's falling apart, so I saw an opportunity there, and I grabbed it.
Are you an opportunist, or do you think that's just you? That's genuinely what you want to do with your life, is you just want to find people that are broken, and you don't fix any of their problems. Do you make them worse?
Mean, come on. You can't. Nobody's problems can get fixed.
Not at all?
Well, not really, no.
So you go into this world knowing she's broken. You know you're not helping, but you're getting exactly what you need.
I know.
You're perfect for LA.
I know that when a corpse is decomposing, okay?
Go, yeah.
There's a whole host of people in the natural world that need to go and feed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I have to go and feed on the corpse because it's the right thing to do.
It is.
It is actually morally correct. It is morally correct to find opportunities in the pain of others.
Okay, I get that.
This is the reality.
That's the reality of life.
The reality of life is that if you're not doing that,
what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are your main goals and aspirations for stand-up?
I would like
LA?
To start a small cult
yeah.
where I would decide who gets in.
Mm-hmm.
And
would
no,
I get in?
I mean, I don't know. You don't need it.
Right.
You don't need it. You've got a wife and a home and, you know.
It's I'm past the cult.
Yeah, you don't need it. No. I need people who are willing to go out and do things for me, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Like,
what's some of the things that people need to do for you?
Punch Elizabeth Warren if I want them to.
Got it.
You know, if I say go and get her, they get her.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. That's a joke,
you know,
and I'm a comedian.
I'm
a comedian. It's a joke. I'm a comedian.
It's so funny that you have to justify what's a joke now. You can just throw her away if you don't want her anywhere near
you. No, but my whole thing is this.
Cubs.
I love, here's the reality. As much as I kid around about like, I just like crazy people.
Yeah.
And the friend that I'm living in her house now is really, I had no idea when I met her a few years ago that I would live in her house. I just liked her because she was crazy.
Yeah, she's a psycho.
She's a psycho.
Now, she acknowledges her psychosis, right? She's like, she knows she's nuts.
Yes. Yeah. This is one of the first lines that came out of her mouth, which made me love her and I thought was funny. She looked at me very earnestly over lunch and she said, "I feel horrible for Harvey Weinstein." And as soon as she said that, I go, "I'm going to be friends with this woman."
Forever.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I said, "This is a person I'm going to take a journey into their life."
Yeah.
Because that's, to me, to say that earnestly.
You also feel bad for Harvey.
No, I don't feel bad for him.
You're bummed out.
I think we could have worked together. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if there's any guy that would have gotten me.
Yeah.
He's a bigger man. He understands. I think what he did was wrong, but no one, what he did to the, women. But I mean, on an artistic level, could me and Harvey have had a,
you could have worked together on
I think
stuff.
We would have had a great time.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
You know?
I get that. Are you a Cosby denier? Do you feel like what Cosby did was any of that true or no?
No, it was true.
All of it was true?
A lot of it.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this.
What about Michael?
Michael Jackson?
Yeah, or Jordan, either one.
A lot of the Michael Jackson was, I believe, true.
You think a lot of the kid stuff was real?
Yeah.
You think any of that stuff was real? Did he fuck kids? Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I got to tell you.
Let me
ask you. A lot of conspiracies online about those guys looking for money.
I understand that, but I'm just going off of why a grown man would
sleep
have
an
amusement park in his home.
Okay.
And then sleep in a bed with kids.
Let's talk about it.
It's a bad sign.
Interview me. I'm just a man who lives that same life. I'm not Michael Jackson. I'm just a rich guy.
Okay.
Okay, so interview me.
We're a little concerned. We're from the neighborhood. We're a little concerned about some of the goings on. I mean, we do appreciate the roller coaster. We do like it.
Yeah, I thought you liked it, didn't you?
You know, we do enjoy it. But a lot of the the kids are having long stays. And I mean, it's not a camp technically. So we don't know what you're doing. And
well, do you know that we are doing ice cream sandwiches tonight? All through the night, we're making homemade ice cream sandwiches.
Really?
Yeah, homemade.
Like on cookies, like Chipwiches?
Yeah, we're baking the cookies, organic baked cookies, like from scratch. And then we're also making our own ice cream from
Interesting.
Scratch.
Interesting. All right. And so you just sleep with the kids?
Well, I mean, we're up all night eating popcorn and ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I don't have a huge
If they
problem
end up at
that.
The butt of my bed when I'm sleeping,
yeah,
it's a slumber party.
Well, I got to be honest. Now that you've explained it, I don't have a huge issue. I just got to talk to my wife because you know them. I mean, they're irrational.
I can't believe we let them out of the
house. They're irrational. No, but there's a lot of dark stuff happening. And there's a lot of celebrities. There's a whole cottage industry of people that cater to the whims of celebrities and rich people. So if like he wants to get injected with any drug, some guy should. I can't get medicine I need.
Yeah.
But if he wants to get injected with whatever killed him, there's a doctor that shows up, opens a bag, and just starts
poking. He's good to go.
Because that's money. Yeah. I can't get a Z-Pack if I have bronchitis. But if you're a millionaire in L.A., somebody will show up and just start injecting you with whatever you want.
Isn't that wonderful, though?
It's Once why
you get
I'm
to that
here.
Level, yeah.
That's why we're
that's
all
why here.
Here.
Are you, I can't mention his name. This is so, I wish I could, but a friend of mine was approached by Kevin Spacey.
I've had a friend who was approached by Kevin Spacey, too.
To go to Sting's house. He was like, "Do you want to go to Sting's house with me?"
Oh.
What do you think happens there? Give me the picture of what happens when you go to Sting's house with Kevin Spacey.
I don't know. I mean, Sting is... I've never heard anything about Sting, and I've kind of...
Really?
I've done episodes on my podcast about human trafficking, and we've talked about celebrities. Sting has never come up.
No.
I talk a lot more about politicians.
He has legal sex. Isn't he
into like tantric sex?
Loves tantric sex.
He loves tantric sex.
Yes. So he's big into like going for hours and hours and hours. He's also into.
He's also a good looking guy. He's talented. He probably has a little small penis.
He loves cucking too.
Right.
Big
okay.
cucker. Big cucker.
So what is Spacey doing in that situation?
That's why I want you to paint me the picture.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I would.
Give me the best guess. Hey, Tim, welcome. I'm Sting's assistant.
And I'm. Who am I now?
You're you, you cunt.
Oh.
Hey, Tim, welcome. I'm Sting's assistant. I'm Margo. Do you want to go to the back there by the pool?
Sure. What's going on back there? Is it like a Benihana night?
No, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was last night.
Is that what's happening?
Tonight is Chili's. We're doing Chili's night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have Chili's catered in.
And there's just some people to meet back there, some fun people?
Yeah. You want to remove your clothes real quick? Keep your shoes on. Please keep your shoes on. Clothes off, shoes on.
Okay.
We're like the opposite of most homes. Most people make you take off their shoes. We say get your dick keep out, your but leave your shoes on.
Keep and then just whoever wants my dick gets it.
Oh, pretty much.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And we're not super concerned about like making everyone show their license.
No.
Good.
Yeah, why?
Because, right.
I don't even know if you can drive.
Everybody should just really experience life.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
You're good.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a little old, but you're good.
Yeah.
We'll take you.
I would like to think Sting's not fucking kids.
No, he doesn't fuck kids.
I hope he's not fucking kids.
I don't think Spacey fuck kids either. I think he hits on kids.
No, I think he fucks kids.
You do?
Well, he's hitting on them. What do you think?
Maybe he's never landed one.
How stupid are those kids? I mean, it's Kevin Spacey. No, if you're hitting on 15-year-olds, you're getting a certain portion of them.
Yeah, you are. You
if
got,
you're
yeah.
a famous dude. Yeah. I mean, this is what's really evil. These guys prey on, you know, kids that are like poor.
Always poor. Underprivileged kids.
Yeah, not like me, like poor and fat. No.
Nobody does poor and fat?
No, Spacey's not approaching poor fatties.
That's sad.
He's going to like good looking poor kids.
Were you poor as a kid?
No, I was not. I mean, I grew up lower middle class. We had an in-ground pool.
I'd say that's middle.
Yeah, it's middle class.
That's nice.
We had an in-ground
pool. In-ground pool is nice as a kid.
It was 6 feet. I've said this before, but you couldn't dive. Like with your pool, I can't dive down.
No, you dive.
I have to dive out.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to remember as I'm jumping into your pool that I can't dive down.
That's right.
And that feeling to me, that in midair feeling is poverty. Like that to me, that feeling of just not letting the 300 pounds of myself cascade into whatever depths of the idea that I have to remember that to me is not where I want to be.
No, you
I want to be in a situation where I can go as deep as I want. Yeah.
What kind of wealth do you think you're going to acquire?
I think I will die with $30,000 in the bank.
In total. That's it.
In total.
Yeah.
No, I would like to make real money.
Like a lot of money.
I'd like a lot of money.
What in your brainstem is a lot of money? What goes, that's a lot of money, I'm good.
If I look at my career as a comedian and I say to myself like a realistic projection of by the end of my career, what could I have if I continue on my course?
Yeah.
$6 billion.
Easy.
$6 to $7 billion. Wow. If I just keep podcasting, we're going to go twice a week. We'll do a Patreon. If I keep that up, I think $6 billion.
How likely is
it? But again, I don't really know how money works or what it is.
Let's get a gauge.
I could be really wrong.
Let's get a gauge.
Yeah.
How much does a car cost?
Great question.
So you really don't? No, I'm kidding.
I know it all. I mean, no, I don't know. Listen, I mean, if I could make seven figures a year, that would be great.
That'd be hot.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a realistic. Now I look at houses in Hancock Park. I look at, you know, $1.8 million, $2 million little Spanish terracotta homes. And I go, that's my fantasy.
That's your dream.
Yeah, it's no longer the Bel Air mansion with gates. It's no longer the helipad and the Palisades. It's a $2 million home in Hancock Park and freedom. The freedom to do what I want.
Yep.
Podcast, talk, do whatever I want.
Did you get a lot of shit for moving to LA from all the New York people?
Not really.
Honestly? Did you get any flack from friends that were like, don't go out to that
I think Bobby Kelly called me. He's like, what do you think? It's 1995? You're going to go get a deal? Dad, what?
Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black a little bit?
Yeah. No, you know what it is? It's, I think right now you guys have led the way in the podcasting world.
Sure.
To a point where I think the New York comics now are actually they're quiet.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of quiet. They're kind of not nearly... You know, because you guys, and there's some fucking amazing comics in LA.
There's some good
like
comics,
it used to be where people would be like, New York is the home of stand-up. It's like, that's not, I mean, it's still where you get good at stand-up.
Yeah,
but
you get way stronger because
you
can do more.
Dude, the amount of great comics in LA. I don't know, everybody was, and I came out here so much before I moved, people thought I lived here.
Yeah.
So people.
You were here enough.
I was here enough. I always liked it here, and I always knew that, like, I think you just go where good things happen. So I'd come here, good things would happen. I would make videos that were funny because there's not as much stage time. So I would sit around my buddy Ben and we would sit around in a garage and we'd go, what could be funny? And we'd make these dumb videos and then we'd podcast. And I just started coming back because good things were happening.
And it felt good.
Yeah. And then my friend's family fell apart.
I love that.
It's so nice.
Well,
cuz you didn't know when it was going to happen.
Right.
I sat through so many awkward dinners. I'm like, "When is the breaking point? You know, when are we going to let's just fold it."
Yeah.
You know, and I would just sit there and just wait for it to disintegrate. But now it's kind of disintegrate and I found a place Among the ruins.
Home. You found home.
Home.
You found
home. In the ashes, in the ruins.
That's so nice and sweet. That's truly the American dream.
It really is the American dream.
Wait for someone to shatter, fall apart.
I'm not a total... I am moral in the extent that I feel bad a little bit.
Yeah.
For the children.
Why?
Great question. And that's the one I can't answer. And that's why it
That's how
really,
you know I've been living in LA for a while.
Yeah, it doesn't upset me that much.
Why?
Doesn't upset me that much. I feel bad because the little kid's like being taken out of his house, out of his... Yeah, I know. He goes out of his room.
Bye.
And he's like giving his cat a hug. He's like, I'm not going to see you for a while. It's like, come on.
Dude, get out.
Enough.
If you could have moved anywhere in LA, would you have moved to West Hollywood?
I like the Palisades.
Yeah.
I like the
Are you
beach.
Okay with WeHo?
I like that it's near the clubs.
Yeah, that's why I lived there
like
for
it
so
near
long.
The clubs.
Yeah.
It's also, I thrive and feed off mental illness.
That's everywhere.
And I like that there's a lot of mental illness.
Yeah.
I might get sleepy in Glendale or Eagle Rock. I like to walk outside and I'm just like.
You want
to
be in the chaos.
It's crazy all day, every day. Just the other day, I was getting a Pokeball. Rolls Royce Phantom pulls up.
Yeah.
A woman on a phone. There's little kids in the back. She's screaming on the phone. She just grabs his Pokeballs and then gets back in the car and just speeds off.
Love.
And then for a few minutes, I can just go, what are they about?
Yeah.
What's that life?
Yeah.
When do those kids do coke? 11? 12?
Yeah. 9, 10,
when
11.
Do they start medicating? Because mommy's not really interested in being mommy.
No.
So that's the type of stuff where I'm attracted to, like, that dark stuff.
LA kind of nurtures that idea. A family friend said in junior high, you know, for like us in junior high, it was like a hand job was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now a blow job is a handshake.
Were you popular in high school?
I guess, yeah. Okay. But like in a weird sense of like everybody knew me, but I didn't have a, my group was like three people.
Yeah, so that's no. That's okay. That's not that wouldn't be a popular guy.
I don't know how to explain it. I was popular. But
did you go to popular parties? Were you in the popular prom limo?
Yeah, I could if I wanted to.
But here, now, okay.
But I chose not to a few times.
I don't want
to
challenge you.
Yeah.
But this is starting to get very suspect.
Well, you can.
No. This whole idea of like, well, I could have if I wanted to.
No, here's what's weird.
I mean, let's be honest.
Here's
that's
what it
like
is.
That's like me being like, oh, sure, a six pack. I could have one if I wanted to. And it's like, yeah, maybe.
I was.
Maybe you could.
I think I was. I'm trying to be a little
here's
bit humble about it.
Here's what I think.
I won Mr. High School my senior year.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was nominated for Homecoming King.
Yeah.
I didn't win. They gave it to a kid whose mother died. And the other kid's father died in 9/11. And
oh,
then me.
So cheap. So cheap.
I'm the real
you
winner.
You have to have a dead parent
I'm the
to
real
win.
Winner
Thank
because
you.
My parents are still alive.
Thank you.
My dad didn't die in a fake terrorist attack that never happened. So you won Mr. High School. Now, that isn't even a real thing. I just want to tell you that's not a real thing. It's not Homecoming King.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
What retarded high school has Mr. High School?
Well, it was the name. It's Mr. NNHS. It was Mr.
N-word? Wait, what?
Yeah, Mr. N-word High School.
And this was suburban Chicago.
Yeah.
And you were Mr. High School in senior year.
Senior year, I won Mr. High School, yeah.
And but you're not in the popular prom limo.
I was. I just.
Okay.
I was.
So then why are you not admitting that?
Because I disassociated with a lot of the popular groups. I just didn't really like being.
This is so funny. We're really scratching the surface of a psychosis you have.
Yes.
You're pretending that you're not popular. It's like people in LA pretend they're not rich.
No, I was. But it was also like I didn't.
Do you feel like you didn't deserve it? Because I deserve my popularity. I earned.
No, I didn't. I didn't stay in touch with any of those people. They weren't. I wasn't really close with any of those people. That's what I mean.
Like because now they're probably very nice, normal, regular, boring.
They
people.
Have their lives together. Yeah. They have all their. Yeah. But I mean, like even right after high school, I didn't stay with friends with anybody. I left Chicagoland. I moved west as fast as I could. So like I was bleeding to get out.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So
you would reach the pinnacle of that environment.
I wanted to leave so bad.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They gave me the high school. I gave it back. I didn't want it. I don't need that.
Who needs it?
Who wants that on your shoulders?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess popular is it's a weird term. My school was fucking huge. It was like 4,000 people at my school.
Me too.
Are you me tooing me right now?
No, I'm just saying.
Don't me too me right now.
Me too. I had all of those popularity.
And you were popular in high school?
In ninth grade, I was not. 10th grade, I was not. 11th grade, I started to be. And then in 12th grade, I was nominated for Homecoming King. And I went to all the parties. I was in the limo, you know, the prom limo, the thing. I, you know, reached that apex of that high school bullshit. And I realized that that's very important in life.
It's extremely
important.
Very important
to be well-liked. Social intelligence is very important.
What fraternity were you in?
There were no fraternities in my
high school.
What
fraternity were you in?
There were literally no fraternities.
What fraternity did you?
I was in Zeta. No, but I was in Zeta before I went to high school, Junior Zeta, in my town. My town was a lot of druggies.
Yeah.
So I was into drugs early and
what'd
often.
You get into?
I got into coke at 13, which I know a lot of people are like, no, you didn't online. And I'm like, it ain't hard.
No, yeah.
Kids are doing it now.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that doesn't happen.
Did you get into hard shit?
Well, I was doing, I did like cocaine and Vicodin and Percocet. I was Demerol a few times, a couple of morphine pills, never meth. Love my acid, love my shrooms, Special K, ecstasy back in the day, wasn't Molly. Consistent weed, loved booze, little gin martini, never hurt anybody.
When did it go away?
25.
Wow.
25, it all went away.
What was the moment?
I was a juror on a murder trial, and the man, I was convicting a man of murder, torture, and rape, and I was sending him to jail for 150 years. And
that's not a realistic time scale. You can't, nobody lives that long anymore.
I know, but it's just, this is just, this, that's the way sentences are. If you ever watched,
understand it.
Okay, well, it's the criminal justice system.
I think it's ridiculous.
It's very important.
You should only be able to sentence someone for as long as they could actually live.
But no, it's a ceremonial thing because you're sentenced on murder one and then you're sentenced on all the other things that you committed.
I think murder should be a 10-year
trial. I'm a lawyer and a judge.
Are you?
No.
And, 10 years in and out.
But I served on a trial. It's the same thing.
Okay.
So I was in this trial. This is true. And the guy kind of liked me, this dude. He kind of liked, we had a kinship. He was like a chubby Spanish guy. And every now and then I would be eating chips. Like the coroner would be like, and he stabbed her in each eye. And I'd be eating chips. And the judge would shoot me a look. And then I would just kind of go like this. I'd be like, and then the fat defendant would be like, you know, it was fun. We had a good rapport.
Yeah.
And I dropped Altoids once and I went all over the place and he just cackled like a madman. And this is in the middle of hearing how he brutally murdered the mother of his children to the point where the medical examiner is like, we stopped at 60.
How many times he stabbed?
Yeah. We stopped at 60 because the tissue damage was so much we couldn't tell how many. But it was boom, 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 boom. And in the middle of that, I dropped Altoids and went all over the place. And literally, he went like this. He went, and I just realized, I thought it was funny, too. I was like, me and him were laughing. It was wildly inappropriate.
Yeah.
But during that trial, when I sentenced him to rotten jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you definitely were like, that's, I've had fun with you, but I do need to put you away for 100
years.
Well,
he was guilty, I think. I didn't really listen to a lot of the evidence, but it was like a lot of the other people were super into it every day. Right. I was kind of like floating in and out.
Yeah.
Again, drunk.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I'm like, I'm looking at this ADA, and she was a fucking beast. Now she's like the fucking whatever in Nassau County, like the DA or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, she gives this closing statement. And let me tell you, this thing was so good. Like, you talk about performance. You talk about somebody who was on that day. She got up. It was so good in the middle of it. He stood up and he goes, I didn't do this crime. Which is like,
okay, I did it.
You buddy.
I did it.
You did it.
I did it.
But it was so good and so intense and so real. And I'm like, this bitch is meant to be doing exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
Like this is, she's fucking keyed in. And I was also very jealous because everyone on the jury was like talking to her. And usually they would listen to me during lunch. But like this was her moment.
She took over.
It was really big. And I said, I want to do something that I feel connected to.
Yeah.
And I'm selling subprime mortgages in a strip mall in Long Island. And I had always believed that was my destiny. And it was a nice, fun thing. It was a good thing. It was camaraderie. There was a lot of people around. I said to myself, I'm like, I want to do something like this chick is doing.
Right.
And for me, that was making people laugh. But in order to do that, I had to kind of sober up. Because every night after this trial, me and my friend Bud Munster, who's my friend's father, coolest guy in the world. How cool? I got into 2 boating accidents with him. That's how cool he was. His son wouldn't get on the boat. His son goes, why are you getting on the boat with him? I'm like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun. And I was thrown, one first accident, thrown off into a marsh to an egret's nest. These are big stalk like birds. I'm in the marsh, thrown off a boat, going like 35 miles an hour, you know, open bay, dark, just thrown. Fuck it. Next accident, we smash into the piling of a bridge.
You hit a fucking bridge.
We hit a bridge. I am thrown off the boat because the bridge is like 5 miles an hour and he's going through at 30. Mistake. And the just bad. And then I get back on the boat, and my back is all scratched and bleeding because as I fell off the boat, I scratched the side of the boat. And then he just looked at me and goes, you cannot hang out with me anymore. And I said, why? And he goes, because I'm trying to kill myself. And then it clicked. It clicked. I'm like, oh. And this was like towards the end of the murder trial because he'd come to the – he didn't work. And he would come to the murder trial every day. But Bud would come every fucking
just
day.
Just to support you?
Just to hang out. And then we'd go to the bars in Long Island at night and just tell people about the whole thing. We were like, you got to see this. But it all started to come together at that point in my life when he was like, you can't hang out with me anymore. He's like, I'm trying to kill myself. Like, that's what I'm just trying to do.
Did his son know that?
What?
Did his son know that?
Yeah, that's why I didn't get on the boat. I told his son that. My son's like, yeah, that's why we don't get on the fucking boat with him, you idiot. And I'm like, but he's fun.
Are you still friends with his son?
Yeah. Yeah. Son's doing great.
But him, so, you don't talk to Bud anymore.
I would, but he's in Georgia. I love Bud. I mean, Bud was a fun guy. Fun guy.
Could we call him?
I don't know if he'll. I don't think he'll answer. But he's
probably fucked up.
He never answers.
So Bud, and this murder trial were the catalyst for you to get clean.
Yeah, because I'm like, there's a real. We're heading to a bad place.
Yeah.
Because I was drinking every night, close to a bottle of vodka a night.
By yourself.
25 years old. I had a $600,000 house in Long Island that was rapidly foreclosing. I had mail, piles of mail. I was just throwing them in out of the room. Yo, this. Yo, the county, $50,000 worth of taxes. I would just throw it. Throw them, just fucking bang a line, do a fucking drink.
You were living a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Get in my, yeah. Well, I mean, we tried to make this a show and no one bought it. So, I mean, a movie would be, that's aspirational, but yeah. And then I'd get my Chevy Suburban that I could barely afford to drive. It was a 44-gallon tank. Gas was like $4 at that point. It was brutal. This was 2009, heart of the financial crisis, nightmare.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to end up dead if I keep hanging out
with these people.
I'm living this life of people that want to die.
Did you go broke?
Oh, yeah.
How broke?
I mean,
you zero?
I mean, I didn't have money. I mean, I was working and I had little money, but.
You lost the house.
I lost the house.
Cars, house.
Yeah.
Bank account.
I went zero. I would say I went zero. Because then I got into comedy and then I was like, oh, I don't need money. And it kind of helps that I don't have a life. I don't have any credit. I have nothing.
Right.
I moved into a small room in New York City in the 5-story walk-up fifth floor with two other comics. And you know,
who are the comics? Do we know who they are?
No.
Okay.
Yes, but no.
Kevin Brennan.
Yeah, it was Kevin Brennan and Neil. And
they lived together?
Yeah.
That's so weird that they got back together. Yeah. After all these years.
No, it was a real nightmare. But that part of my life was like, oh, it's good. I don't have any fucking money. But it was just, I don't need it.
Right.
I was like, I was happy. I was like, I'm doing comedy every night. I'm living like a block from Times Square. And these people, this married couple would fight every night. And I would just, you know, just walk around Times Square. Talk to like hot dog guys. I talk to like halal guys.
The halal guys
smoke cigarettes with them and talk to them and whatever, you know. And then I would just, that's kind of how I got good at comedy because I was like, well, there's nothing else. I mean, the mortgage industry is over. I have no money, no credit. I have nothing.
You collapsed.
I collapsed. It was a total collapse.
But it's perfect. And that's what
it
led
actually
you. So how old are you now? 26 at this age?
27? Yeah, about that. Yeah, wow. About 26.
Wow, that's fucking incredible. That's like what you needed to get started. Did you ever want to be a comedian?
Well, I was a child actor from when I was 6 to when I was 12.
That I know. I actually do know that because I've heard some of your stories.
That's so I mean.
But did you want to be a comic?
I was always very funny. I liked certain types of comedy. Like, I was never a comedy nerd, but I loved Patrice O'Neill. I loved Bill Hicks. I would listen to O&A. I would listen to Stern.
Alive. All
those guys. I would listen to political talk radio. I thought those guys were always very funny, even though they were wild.
Who do you like now?
As a comic or as just a radio person?
Who do you like now as a comic? What comics are you like? I like those guys.
When I look, like, people that I'm genuinely very impressed by.
Yes.
Sebastian Maniscalco puts on a Broadway show.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yes, he's a showman.
Watching him, it's a Broadway show.
Yeah.
Joey Coco Diaz is amazing.
The best.
You know.
Cocksucker.
I like Some More, black comic.
Some More?
Some More, DC Improv.
I don't know.
Packs out the DC Improv. Yeah, well, because this industry cares about a certain type of black comic.
Yeah.
But Some More is one of the funniest people that you'll ever see.
Well, I see. There's a lot. I'll say this. I'll defend L.A. in the fact that L.A. has a good black comedy scene.
Sure.
And independently grown so significantly over the years. I got to tell you, like, D. Ray Davis started Mo' Better Mondays.
Yeah.
And D. Ray Davis got famous in the stand-up world, literally from cultivating his own show.
Right.
So I know a bunch of I know how New York, it's so much different. New York black and white comics are much more intermingled. Out here, there is a white scene, a black scene.
Yeah.
And they cross. But the black scene out here is so strong.
Yeah.
There's so many good black comics.
So like last year I was doing DC Improv. This year I did the big room. Last year I did the little room and some more was in the big room.
Yeah.
And you just watch somebody pack out every show.
Yep.
Kill for an hour.
Yep.
With no TV. The industry doesn't fuck with her at all. And the stuff, dude, is funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's brutally funny.
Yeah, the industry likes a certain kind of black person.
Whether, 19.
Yeah.
Half white.
Yeah.
Yas queen.
Perfect hair.
Perfect hair.
Yeah, everything looks perfect.
The name is like Gwujo Abagabi.
They love Abagabi.
They love that. And that's who they go with. But go with somebody who's 50, has seen life, has shit to say, is funny, can make everyone laugh, no good.
You know Lunel?
I love Lunel.
Okay, Lunel is another person that I think I've never not seen do well.
Crush.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And she's somebody that the industry does this thing where they're like, she's great, right? And then you'd go, yeah, you should put her in some shit. And they'd go, well,
Right.
They would have, they have no, you know what I mean? They don't admit it.
Yamanika's getting love now.
Yeah.
Yamanika Saunders. Yamanika Saunders has been one of the funniest people.
Yeah, she's hysterical.
Ever.
But she gets love now because of people pulled her into the system, helped her get more into the system.
Right.
The business itself didn't do shit for her until
100%.
She made them do shit
and
for her.
And she's as deserving and as hardworking as
she's phenomenal. So I think what's interesting about LA, just to bounce back, is like I think LA does a great job with cultivating a good black comedy world.
Yeah.
The unfortunate truth is the business itself just has this very
obvious idea. Well, the business just likes milquetoast.
Kevin Hart.
Mainstream. Well, no.
Kevin Hart set the standard for a black idea of what the industry goes. We love this guy as a black comedian.
Right.
That's what I mean.
And Kevin Hart, I wouldn't even say it's the black. I think he's just the standard of mainstream comedy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say it's the black standard. I think it's just the standard for mainstream comedy.
For the most mainstream commercialized comedy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they love that he's black. That's my point. That's what I'm saying.
It's a huge thing for a lot of guilty white liberals going to bed in their houses in the Santa Monica Canyon. And they, you know, but they got 10,000 square foot homes, but they're the good guys.
They're the nice guys.
They're the good guys.
We're the good guys.
They're the guys that are concerned about global warming, but not enough to sit next to me in row 18 of a Delta flight.
Uh-uh.
They're not that concerned.
Uh-uh.
They're still hopping on a private jet.
Right.
They're still going to.
It's a Tesla.
Yeah.
It's a Tesla.
I mean, one of my favorite stories, the day before I do Rogan, I go get a book to give him, conspiracy book. I get it from people in the Palisades. They have an $8 million home in the Palisades. I open the door. It's two old people standing there. I go, what do you guys do? They go, we're activists. And it's like, are you really? Are you really activists?
Yes, they're
active.
Boy,
that's paying well.
Uh-huh.
That's really doing well.
Yep.
Yeah,
so that's where the money is.
There's a lot of cognitive dissonance in LA between what it is and what people project. They project that's where you get that mainstream liberal kind of like, we care about everybody, but the reality is they don't. This industry is essentially human trafficking.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's built on the bodies of destroyed human beings, and you 100%. Can see them. You can see them as they get out of their cars to sell real estate or to wait tables, and they're pensive and cat-like, and they're always, you know, and they just look like and they smell like cigarettes and Vicodin, and Vicodin doesn't have a smell, but it's kind of that chalky feel, and they're just hollowed out husks of human beings, and that's who the business is really built on. The failures, the demons. There's a great Broadway show right now called The Ferryman. It just won a Tony for Best Play. It's really good. You probably don't see plays right. But
no
it's
way.
Good. I mean, it's, or book. You read books ever? You a book guy? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, but it's if you by accident, if you're ever, whatever, if you have to do it. But
if I'm in jail?
The play, right.
Then I'll read
right.
a fucking it's book like, when I go to prison. Play.
But there's this great quote from Greek mythology where there's like 1,000 undead souls wandering the earth waiting for the ferryman to take them to hell.
Wow.
They can't even get to hell or heaven. They can't get anywhere. They can't even get into Hades. They're just undead wandering looking for the ferryman. And that's kind of what I feel about LA.
Yeah.
You just look at people.
This is the undead.
This is the undead. You look at them and then some of them are doing great.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of people here where it's like, oh, you're just waiting for someone to say, that's enough now. That's enough. Somebody goes up to you as you're just serving a cappuccino to some businessman. You're hoping he notices the shape of your face and lets you do something.
Want you on a sitcom,
you
Tim.
Want some old, nice woman to come in and go, hey, honey. And she's warm. She smells like grandma. And she says, hey, that's enough now. Why don't you come home? And then they're skinny and you look at her and you go, grandma? And she takes you home and you eat biscuits in Georgia. The end. But most people don't do that. Most people just fade away.
They fade.
They fade away.
What are your parents still together?
Well, my mother's a schizophrenic.
Love that.
In a mental institution. And my father.
Did you visit?
Selfishly left. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. instead of moving in there with her. I do visit her once a week. Yeah.
Once a week?
Yeah, when I'm in New York. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She's doing good.
I mean, she is?
Well, she's schizophrenic, but.
So what?
You talk to a lot of people in our business. You go, she's only a little further than they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that we know. The end will not be good. The end will be in an institution where their day is planned for them.
Yeah.
The end does not end with freedom for many of the people that we know. It ends in a very bad place where they are looking at the ceiling, and they're heavily drugged. I mean, like somebody will stand in a room and watch them take their medication and go, did you really take it? And they have to go, like that to show that the pills are no longer in their mouth. That is how it ends for many of our friends. But for a few of them, they'll do well.
It'll be nice. How are you going to end?
I don't know. I hope like that, but also in a big house in Bel Air. I hope it's the best and worst of both worlds. Like, I want it to be all and nothing.
Yeah.
Just 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you consider yourself on the scale of, honestly, will you consider yourself a righty or a lefty? What do you lean more to?
Politically?
Yeah, what do you lean more to?
Interesting.
Really? Genuinely. Be genuine.
I'm not a lefty.
No, you're not.
Not a lefty.
But you're not really a righty.
I don't know that I'm a righty. I think in a perfect world, I would be more of a righty.
Yeah.
Like if everything was, like if we could start over again.
Yeah.
I believe in people having freedom. But at the end of the day, the system that we have now is kind of the worst of both worlds.
Sure.
We have public and private, and they're intermingled. And I'm much more interested in the dark underbelly of dark money, of bribery,
yeah,
of corruption,
yeah,
of people that are compromised in a million different ways, institutionalized criminality. I mean, that's a shit that, you know, sometimes I've talked about on my show. I think all of these people, even the presidents, are actors that are cast in these roles. And I think there are billionaire families and institutions and power factions behind them,
right,
that are allowing them essentially to serve at the pleasure of these real power people. And that if they ever go against them, or if those people feel that they're not good for the overall picture, they can get rid of them in many different ways. Whether it's,
right,
used to be murder, they would just kill people,
yeah, they
like
kill
Kennedys,
you.
They would kill Martin Luther King. Now they just, there's enough dirt on everybody to force people out with scandals, the Elliot Spitzers, people like that. You could kind of, if you anger the wrong people, they could kind of just get rid of you. So I think that a lot of these conversations we have is like left, right. It's kind of like these are false choices.
Yes, they are.
Because the reality is we're in a hell of a mess.
Mm.
And we're not getting out. That's what I come to tell everyone.
Sure.
We're not getting out. It doesn't get better.
No.
Your thoughts have no value.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter what you believe or what you say, or none of that matters. We're past the peak of this empire. It will disintegrate. It will maybe slowly, like this, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, there's never been an empire that had the military strength that we do in the financial position we're in, which is $20 trillion in the hole. But we still have the strongest military. So that is interesting. Because that, you go, well, at that point, do you go, is a war needed? Something's needed. But I don't know what'll happen. But I'm one of these people. The problem with politics is you go out to lunch with people and they go, if we just did this, it would be okay.
Yeah.
And you go, no, you know, I don't think so. You know, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think if we just did this, it'd be, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do things like we should have health care, we should have all that stuff. But we are past peak. We're overextended all over the world. It's a 50-year orgy of, we've got, you know, drunk on cheap credit and unsustainable foreign entanglements and wars. We've
right.
done crazy things. This doesn't turn around. I don't think.
So what's the way out? War?
No, there's no way. I mean, the way out is the gates. The gates here. Put the gates up, privatize, take the water, take the air,
yep,
and ignore the tents, which is what the people here do. You see, the rich have left the planet. Literally and, you know, figuratively and maybe one day literally. They don't care anymore. The rich are no longer invested in this country running as a country. And this has been, I mean, private transportation, private schools, private this, private that, private communities, private firefighters. Kim Kardashian and them hired fucking private firefighters to go all over, you know, to go up in Calabasas. They're uninterested in this running anymore. They're more interested in what their friends in London are doing, what their friends in the other, you know, in the United Arab Emirates are doing. They don't give a fuck anymore. They don't care. Isn't that nice, though? It's beautiful. I'm trying to get to there.
Yeah.
I want to get to there. I'm trying to get to be one of those people.
That's so nice.
Who gets there.
Like when you
there.
Say private firefighters?
Oh, yeah, everything.
Wonderful.
I want that.
Wonderful.
I want that.
I do that on a small level, right? We all do it.
We all do it.
Okay. I have a guy that does my fucking lawn. I have a guy that does my pool. Can I do those things? Sure.
Okay.
I'm not gonna do those things.
I think you're trying to make yourself sound a little bit. I mean, I'm talking about
I'm saying we do it at small scale and it
about
only
killing
gets
the fucking president. If he fucks up.
Yeah.
You're talking about lawns. We're talking about what if Kennedy doesn't run?
Yeah.
What if he doesn't run? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's a journalist who got what? He got tipped off. Well, we're gonna hijack his car remotely and send him into a tree. I'm not talking about you got a pool guy. I love that you got a pool guy. I'm talking about real operators.
Yeah.
Blood. When they're eating the steak, the blood drips out of them. They have the taste of blood, and they love the feeling of being able to just manipulate and control. Mm-hmm. And it is nice to have a lawn person, too. But I get it. We all do it on a small level.
We all fucking take shit on a small level. You do shit on a small level. He drove you here. Okay.
It's true.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I don't have a license.
Yeah, but you could.
Well, I do.
Yes.
Suspended.
Why?
Come on. I've never gotten along with the New York State Department of Transportation.
Whose fault do you think that is?
I think it's both. Yeah. I'm willing to take a little bit of the blame.
But it's mostly
them. I think they have to also come to the table
and
understand that, yes, my license has been suspended 30 times. Yes, I have left the scene of accidents. Yes, I have not paid my tickets. Yes, I used to drive around in a Suburban with bald tires that would go all over the road. And when I was pulled over, I had nor license, nor registration, or insurance. And a cop said once, what are those? And I said, how about none of the three? But I'm white, so he's like, you nut. And I left. And that taught me a lesson that being white matters. It's sad, but it does. And I would just kind of, but, so I got to pay them, I think, $2,000. And then I'll be back in business.
Then you're good to go.
Then I'm good to go.
Two G's and you're out.
Yeah, but I should do it. It's just, I have the money. I should just do it, but.
Principle?
No, I'm just Ubering.
Yeah.
I should do it. And I just borrow people's cars without a license.
And then if you get pulled over here, then you start a whole new system of downfall in California.
Well, if I get pulled over here, you know, I like to be on my feet. I'm good when the pressure's on.
Yeah?
When the cameras are on, I'm ready.
The camera's on right now. You're good.
No, if the cop pulled me over, I'd be like, I don't even, wait, what?
Do you know why I pulled you over?
No, sir, I don't know.
Well, because you were speeding excessively and changing lanes without a signal. Can I see your license and registration?
Absolutely, sir. Let me see. I have my New York State. This is a non-driver ID. It's the same license number. You can go check it up. Now you go see it's suspended. Now you're back to the car.
Hey.
Hi.
Your license is suspended.
Wait a minute. Where?
In New York. You're from New York?
I am.
How long have you been living in Los Angeles?
I've been living here a while, sir. I just, maybe my mail's not going to the right location. Suspended? I can't believe this. This is suspended?
Yeah.
I cannot believe this.
So you don't have a California State driver's license?
I don't have a California State driver's license.
Do you have any kind of license to operate a vehicle at all?
Well, I have one in New York, sir. I can operate a vehicle.
It's suspended.
I thought it was in good standing, but I have no way of knowing that, sir.
Wait a minute.
I have no way of knowing that. Do you know Ray Kelly? Are you Ray Kelly, my father?
Wait, that's your father?
That's my father. Oh. Chief of Police Ray Kelly is my father. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do right now.
Uh-huh.
Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get back in your car.
Okay.
You're going to shake my hand. You're going to get back in your fucking car. And you're going to go home and you're going to say that you met the son of one of the greatest civil servants that's ever lived. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You know what New York was doing before my father took it over? Okay? They were fucking corpses on the street. Okay? And you know what they're doing now? They got kids flying kites. That happened in the span of 15 years because of my father and a man named Rudolph Giuliani. So, sir,
yeah.
Are you a white man, sir?
Yes.
Okay, good. What I want you to do you love this country?
More than anything
okay,
in the world.
Okay, do you love Donald Trump?
More than anything
That's
in the world.
That's right. So what I want you to do is I want you to see who's an ally.
Uh-huh.
We're allies,
yeah.
Okay? Because
yeah.
They're coming. And yeah. You know we're the first ones that are going to go.
You're right.
Straight white men.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to do is get back in that car, and I want you to go home and kiss your wife and kid. You got a kid and a wife, sir?
I got both, yeah.
I want you to go home and kiss him, and I want you to you tell your wife, and I want you to tell your kid that there are still good men in the world that realize that we're in a fight. You're in that fight, aren't you, sir?
You bet your ass.
Thank you. Heil Hitler. And then he leaves and gets back in his car, and Ray Kelly's not my dad. But you see, he got so caught up in it. See, he got...
Do you know the one part that made the most sense to me?
What?
The Heil Hitler part. Life is really good.
Yeah, I mean, life is good. Are you going to have babies soon?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I want to try.
That's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fucking wild.
Yeah.
Would you ever want kids?
Maybe.
I don't fucking, who knows? Who cares?
I'm so far away.
Well, that's the hardest part about Los Angeles.
I'm living in a home right now because there's children's lives are being ruined.
Yeah, but you don't have to care about other people's kids. I don't believe.
Their lives are not being ruined. I'm kidding around. They're rich. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's a lot better to be rich and in an emotionally unstable situation than to be poor and have everything be great.
Yeah, that's 100%
true. It's 100%
true. Well, because you grew up with okay money.
A little bit.
Then went poor on your own.
Then went poor on
your
own.
Now you're back on your feet.
Does
your family support you at all or no?
Never.
Not financially. In the sense of you.
They love my comedy. My dad loves it.
Well, then that's great. That is support. What else do you need?
Yeah.
Like, I've never taken a dime from my parents.
No.
And I feel good about it.
My stepmother, they just bought a little cottage. She's like, you'll own this one day. I'm like, when? You'll live for another 40 years.
Yeah, and you'll be dead before them.
I'll be dead before them.
There's no doubt.
So.
No, you'll live a long time. You'll live a long life.
I'm going to lose weight.
You know why you'll live a long life, honestly?
Yeah.
And you can talk about that in a second, but being genuine. You talking about like falling down kind of in your own worst way. You're the most like, the reason I think you're so funny, truthfully, not to suck your dick, is you're the most clean-minded version of yourself. Like nothing's holding you down. There's no crazy lies that you're fucking beholden to. There's no like life that you're lying to live, right?
No. It's all honest.
Yeah, you're all out.
It's all legit.
I feel like when comics become all undone, that's when they get the most funny. When they're like, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you all the shit.
Well,
that's probably why why you're actually happy now.
Well, truly. I also got to like, I got to lose 50 pounds. I smoke cigarettes occasionally in LA now when I never did that in New York ever.
You never smoked?
Never. But
is it him?
No, it's, I smoked in New York when I was young, when I was in my early 20s, but then I just quit for 7-8 years.
Everybody smoked in their early fucking 20s.
Right. And now I'm in LA and it's like cool nights and sometimes I have a cigarette. It's like not good. But what I want to do is get rid of that.
Go back.
Yeah.
You like smoking at night, right?
Beautiful.
Isn't it so nice?
It's the best thing in the world.
I got it. As someone I hate during the
day. I could like actually not smoke all day.
Yeah.
And at night just start going crazy.
It's so funny. As someone who doesn't smoke anymore, I smoke a little bit and nighttime is the only time I want to sit outside and smoke and have just a little cocktail. I get exactly why people do it.
Yes. Like, hey.
Yes.
You know who sucks? You know what comic I don't, you know? You know who I hope dies?
Go. Tell me who.
No, I don't want to.
Hey, you want to lose 50 pounds as your goal? Is that my goal? Is that a
real
number?
I would like to use more than that, but I think 50 is a very definitive number. That's very doable, and I have to do it. I'm going to start. I got to eat better, and I got to start exercising.
What does that mean? Eat better? That's a vague term that people use all the time.
I don't eat that bad. You know, once you get to a certain level of weight, the problem is your body just sustains.
Sure.
I don't eat bowls of ice. I don't eat the worst things in the world.
You do love ice cream, though.
Well, I haven't had it in a while.
But you say you love it.
I do love it. It is the best food.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best.
That is the most satisfying food?
There's nothing better. I can prove it. You give it to a one-year-old, and the one-year-old goes, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
Give it to the baby, just got on Earth, and goes, this is. You have to acquire a taste for everything else.
Yeah.
Steak, lobster, all that shit.
What's your vice? Now that you got rid of addiction, so to speak, I know you're an addict wants an addict, whatever. What's your vice, though? What's the thing that you go, I can't get away from this thing, whether it's food, a thing?
I think food would be up there.
That is?
You know, food's probably bad.
What's the one thing that makes you fucking, that you're like, I feel bad every time I do it, but I love doing it?
Murdering a dog. No, I think it's just like eating something that's wrong.
What is wrong?
Eating something decadent and wrong.
Deep fried.
No, I actually don't like fried food. I'm not a huge fried food guy.
So here's what I'll do.
Here's what I'll do if I'm being really bad.
Yeah, give me your bad boy.
Let's go have a shellfish tower. Let's have a porterhouse. Lobster mac and cheese, corn creme brulee, a little cream spinach, and let's finish it off with, like, you know, some homemade ice cream from a steakhouse and a big piece of chocolate cake or chocolate souffle or something. You know, a real suicide meal.
Yeah.
A real problem.
Yeah, but is it a real problem?
If I do, and then Taco Bell, every now and then I'll have Taco Bell, which
Taco
is
Taco Bell's
good.
Dog shit, yeah.
Taco Bell's very, now you say that, and I argue with Rogan about it. It's actually tasty.
Dog shit.
It's tasty.
You're living in the literal, one of the best places to get authentic, good Mexican food. Good. I know that's an annoying cliche of Los Angeles.
Did they come here legally?
No.
Okay.
Thank God.
No, I'm kidding. Of course not. but you're telling me,
you know, they're building the wall out of Doritos Locos Tacos shells.
Do you not like Taco Bell as the taste?
Absolutely not.
Grew up with it, though. Did you grow up with it? It's a nostalgia thing to me.
I had it as a kid.
It was a nostalgia.
Okay, but I'll give you another one. I had Domino's as a kid, but I think that tastes like shit.
Oh, it doesn't.
It tastes like shit.
It really doesn't.
That's not good pizza.
Domino's and I'm not going to get into the pizza. Papa John's are good. Papa
no.
did nothing wrong.
Papa did a lot wrong. Papa Don did wrong.
But, you know, I do have a taste for some trashy food. Pizza Hut. You're going to tell me Pizza Hut is not good?
You know it isn't.
The Hut?
You know it's not good.
The Hut?
What's the most pretentious slice of pizza in New York that every New York cunt is like?
Some black truffle thing.
Yeah.
Some garbage.
But no, from where?
At the Mark Hotel, they have a black truffle pizza, which I actually love.
Yeah.
It's a restaurant that all the Real Housewives go to.
Oh.
It's like a John George restaurant. But it's Ooh. Really, really, it's really good. Maybe it's Daniel Ballou. Who knows? But... No, I need to break. Like, late night, me and him will go to Bell at, like, 1:30.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Well, this skinny cunt can go to Bell. It doesn't matter.
He can do anything he
wants. That's what's annoying.
He can do anything
These
he
skinny
wants.
Fucks can do that shit.
He can do anything he wants.
He's never teetered on having a weight that's
I
concerning.
I pray every day that he gets a fast-acting, mysterious cancer.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't know where it's coming from.
Let's pick one. Where, what would he
just
get?
Just go numb.
Let's pick one.
I don't know. I like a blood cancer.
Yeah, blood cancer.
I like a blood cancer.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because the Theranos with Elizabeth Holmes. I like the idea of just blood being like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Blood feels like a real serpentine type of like.
Spinning
but,
through you.
I mean, it is, who knows? He's skinny. He's always been skinny. I have problems. It's very tough.
People at home don't know that aren't going to be watching. We're talking about a friend off camera now. And he is very good looking, skinny. In
oh, he's
good
an
shape.
LA guy. When I bring him into parties.
He's good looking.
Well, he's great to bring to these LA parties and everything because everyone loves him. All that people love him.
Men, women, kids.
Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
You know?
The valet.
Everybody likes him.
Because he's vague in race, too.
Which
I don't know what
good.
He is. Is he Cuban or what are you?
No, he's not Cuban. He's just all white.
He's all white?
He's all white. But he's from Texas and they have a little, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah,
kinds
yeah,
of things
yeah,
there.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Native American and all kinds of, you know,
oh,
Mexican.
Oh, 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 oh. Yeah, I remember.
Rattlesnake.
Yeah.
But... He's good. I can't bring another bruiser to a party. Like
right.
When I walk in and I'm like, ah! Yeah. People are like, okay, enough. I bring him in and he's like a waif and he's like barely there and he's like, hello. And people love him because they can talk about shit. I won't have certain conversations.
Give me one.
He'll talk about the weather in a nice, polite way.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll, because he's a sweet guy. He'll be like, oh, yeah. You know, when I did the thing and I'm like, listen, they're cloning. They're cloning and they're doing it now.
Yeah.
And so a guy like me, two fat people should never be seen together. That's
you,
not
you never hang out with someone overweight?
No.
Never
not
once?
Really. No, I mean, I have, in, you know, for a business thing.
Are you embarrassed?
No, I just think people need to bring different things to the equation. A fat right. guy and a thin guy has been the model forever and
forever.
Successful things.
Yeah.
Laurel and Hardy, Abbott Costello. It's always a fat guy, a thin guy to an extent.
Spade and Farley.
Right. I mean, it's always a fat guy, a thin guy. You can't have two fat people. And two thin people starts looking weird, too. Because it's like, what are they up to?
Well, if they're both, if they're similar thin, if they're too similar in thinness.
You want to, when you go into a place, you want to be memorable and you want to compliment each other. Like, me and him compliment each other well.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm, like, aggressive. I have a very, like, my voice is very off-putting.
It's like
it's really perfect for comedy and podcasting.
Yeah, it's like when you put a fork on a pan. You know
yeah.
when you're yeah
it's
when you're
exactly
cooking.
Right because you know
yeah.
why?
Yeah,
because that's the pan's telling the truth.
Yeah,
and people don't like that. The pan's going, ooh, I'm being scratched.
I'm
now.
Being scratched.
But what he does is you put the fork on like a nice little fucking soft pillow.
Yeah,
and that's what LA is. It's like, oh, the pillow's getting tickled. I'm like, you know, so I think that's you need friendships that complement each other.
Sure.
That's what I've always found.
Well, you are someone that compliments most people very well because you offset everybody I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody that's like you. That's a wonderful thing to be.
Well, You know, yes and no. I mean, everyone nobody's like me, but everyone says it's such a great thing to be.
It is.
But nobody in this business wants that. That's
what are you talking about? What does that mean? What do you want? What do you want?
In the industry of this business wants someone who's just like somebody else.
What do you want the industry to want you to do?
Everything.
What?
I think I'm funny enough where they should write me a check and let me do things.
You because say, give me money and let me go.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at these fucking shows they're making that are disgusting and unfunny.
Give it to me.
I mean, a lot of the things that they've made, great shows that are like, even SNL now is kind of wacky. And some of this stuff is downright unwatchable.
Yeah.
Some of these things that Comedy Central, True TV have made have been downright unwatchable. And they take great talents, really funny people, and they squeeze the funny out of them. They beat the funny out of them with bats.
Why is it?
It's the process.
Yeah.
It's too many cooks in the kitchen. It's a bunch of people that want to be relevant that aren't funny, that are executives and people that work in production companies. It's all very unnecessary. Look at what we're doing now. We don't need 10 people to come in here. This would just slow us down.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
So what I think I would really like an industry that was like, we want a streamlined thing, but we want to give you money and we want to let you do funny, crazy shit. And people are going to connect to it, and we're going to find a way to distribute it online. And we're going to—I still like cool shit. I still love movies. I still love TV shows. But I want things to be better, especially comedy shows.
Basically, you're talking about the early '90s because comedy was the early.
Yeah, I don't want to surrender the industry to just woke garbage.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And that's what it is. And listen, that's what we're all doing. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all going indie, which is what we have to do.
Right.
But I look at this shit, and I'm still a little upset. I'm like, where's Mad TV? Where's shit like that?
Right.
Where's stuff like Reno 911 that you can't even do now? Because half of the jokes are Reno 911. If you propose them in a writer's room right now, they'd call the police. So where is this shit?
Like I think you think about that? That's such a great point. When I think about Nick Swartzen's character, Terry from Reno 911.
Forget it.
You could never pitch Terry now.
Do you know that?
They would go, that's culturally insensitive.
You can't do it.
Yeah, no.
You can't do it.
Why does he always have to be sucking dick?
I don't get it. So what you have is a lot of unfunny people that are theater. A lot of the industry is people that were like theater kids, people that were like
Dylan. You were a theater kid though.
You know, I was a professional actor who was paid.
Holy shit!
I was
shit.
On Sesame Street. I toured around the country.
You didn't go to theater school?
No, not at all. You had no formal training.
No formal training.
It's called training on television.
This cunt.
I had an agent at 7. Thanks. But no, and I'm saying this to be a cunt to be funny, but it's actually a meaningful difference.
Yeah.
Because if you do it professionally, even as a kid, it's competitive and nasty.
It's disgusting.
And if you do it in theater in high school, everybody's fun and supportive.
Sure.
And those people fucking fail, and that's it. And all the theater kids, my high school was like, had one of the best theater programs on Long Island. You know what it produced? A lot of lawyers. Because you should all be made to take gym and have a fire breathing dyke chase you around an auditorium. And like Ms. Zenker used to, like, hey, time for the fun run. And you're like, look at this sinful woman. I look at that shit and I go, a lot of these types of kids, dilettantes, people that want to be near the business, but like people that want to be near talented people but aren't talented people,
right.
They are the ones who fuck up every show. I just did a pilot. You know, one of the notes I got on it was? This was a pilot where I stood on a tour bus and yelled at people. And the note that I got was this. Are we going to explore economics through the lens of race and gender? And my email back was no, because it's not a course at NYU. It's a 22-minute show where I'm on a tour bus.
Yeah.
So we're not doing that. What we're trying to do is be... But the minute that those fucking people began to think that they were important and they were fighting the good fight... Everything they inject all of that into it, and they ruin everything, and they ruin funny.
Yeah, a lot of funny people shit goes down.
It is really true. So when you say to me like, we don't care about the industry now. It's easy to say we don't care about the industry. It just depresses me from a human standpoint that a lot of the shit I grew up on that I thought was great that I'd like to see more of that is still going on in the podcast world.
Yeah,
and they're still going on in the independent world. Real conversations, real shit. Funny. Why can't we have a version of that fucking on a streaming service or on TV?
You can.
Why is And I mean that. So that's my hope.
But this is the new shit. Is we just have to make our own shit.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, this is by and large the most freeing time, right? The fans have spoken. People are like, you. I love. How many people I've sent your fucking video to? On Melrose.
Yeah.
People that go, I would watch this.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. So, literally. The only thing that's left is it's up to us to just do it.
That's it.
So I think that's the thing is like, as much as I don't enjoy kind of quote unquote what's happening a little bit, to some degree, it's the literal thing I love, because I'm like, oh wait, we can do whatever the fuck we want, and we don't have there's no parameters.
Absolutely.
I mean, dude, I'm embarrassed to say this, and I don't really talk about it because it makes me feel uncomfortable when I'm in around real actors.
Yeah,
is I've never had literally any training,
right?
And never once, and I've landed a pretty good amount of jobs,
right?
And other actors, there's people that have kind of, when I tell them that, they kind of look at you like, oh, you're trash. Like, I'm less than. But it's like, dude, I do this thing. Well, this is all the training. So
you have more training than they do.
Well, yeah, to go back to what you're talking about.
They have training wheels.
Right, right. And you,
fucking little you
starting
as
a fucking kid in acting is what I'm paralleling. It's like, yeah, you jump right in and you fucking do it. That's
I did a lot of plays. I did a lot of shows in New York City, a lot of black box theaters.
Your parents put you in it?
Theater.
Or you wanted to do it?
I wanted to do it. I pointed at the TV when I was like 4 or 5.
Put me in.
And I was like, I want to be in that.
That's funny.
No, the pathology goes deep, you know?
Why though? Why? Something's there.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor. Ask Jordan Peterson.
Jordan, come on in. Your mother was extremely supportive.
She was supportive, but she wasn't like a big stage mom. She was good and supportive. Like, I can't tell you why. Dude, when I watch old movies of myself, and I think a lot of them were destroyed in Hurricane Sandy, thank God. I'd be like 3 going, everyone look at me. I want to put on a play at 3.
Yeah.
Like 3 years old, being like, hey, whole party of people.
Watch me.
And then I would just like smash something in my head because that's what you do at 3. It was a great bit.
So do you think that this is what every comic has to go through? I did the same kind of nonsense.
I don't know. I just feel like
when I was fucking 9, I sung at my parents' wedding.
Yeah.
I thought that was the coolest thing. I sung one singular sensation. Yeah, I was so gay as a child.
One singular sensation. That was my grandmother's retirement song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your grandmother goes out, my parents go in.
I think we all, in a way, a lot of us want that spotlight. And where that comes from, I don't know. Something's deeply wrong.
Yeah. Something is inherently
incorrect.
Something's
inherently off.
But you're okay with it.
How can you fight what it is? You can't fight what it is.
Well, you can walk away from it. You can just not.
But you can't. I mean, that's why they're all walking around waiting for the ferryman. I mean, sadly, I don't think you can.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, dude. I actually don't think you can. I think it either works or your life is ruined.
Damn.
I don't think people can. I even think the people that do never fully do.
You think the people that do it never really...
If you're a real comic, and a lot of these people aren't. So if you're not a real comic, it's whatever.
You and I are real professional comedians.
Yeah, I think once you... Whatever that threshold is, once you're in it, it is hard to fucking get out.
Well, I wouldn't want to get out. I wouldn't want to get out.
No. None of us would want to get out. I'm just saying.
Oh.
Anybody, for whatever reason, even if you're not as far along as you or as far along as I or whatever, I just think once you're kind of in, you're in.
Okay.
This ruins you for everything else.
Well, let me tell you something.
How can you do anything else after you've done this?
I could get out. I could get out.
You could get out?
I could. I don't want to.
Say that.
I don't want to, but I know what's in the back of my head.
I'm not saying you'd murder your family.
I would.
I'm saying
that. I would not even.
But I'm saying that when you were out, you wouldn't be fully out because this is still so much a part of you in your DNA.
Yeah.
You'd be sitting some, my friends that are like, you know, firefighters or whatever, they got a hot wife to go on 2 vacations a year. They have a nice little house in Long Island.
Perfect.
When they're on vacation, they're on fucking vacation. They don't care.
Right.
You'll never be able to clear your head completely of this business. You never will. You'll never be able to do it. Even if you get out and you run as far away as you think you can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, there'll be a small corner of your mind with cobwebs, and in that corner of your mind will be fucking something from this business. You'll never be able to get rid of it.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I'm on my way out today.
You're going?
This is my last day.
Is it really?
I want to say goodnight to my fans, my friends, my family, my dog.
I wish, listen, if it was that easy.
If you had to get out, where would you go, though?
You got to run.
Where?
A small town in New England.
I already know where I'm at.
Where?
A little island off the coast. A little island off of Sicily. I would be a little shitty fisherman off the coast of Sicily down there.
That's you read that in like a John Grisham novel.
I don't read. You know that I don't read books.
But
I've never read a book front to back.
Is that true?
100%.
Interesting. I love LA. You just come right out with that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, no, I'm from Chicago, and none of those people read books either. It's just different.
They've read Mein Kampf.
Well, the Bible?
There's
is that what you're talking
books
about?
That they've read.
You're talking about the Bible?
They've read My Awakening by David Duke.
Okay. The Bible?
The Bible.
Yeah, you're talking Old Testament, New Testament.
The Giordano's Pizza Menu.
I've read that 1,000 times.
I love Giordano's.
Yeah, and Lou's. I like Lou's too. Look at this guy. They're both delicious.
Pequod's is good.
Pequod's is fucking wonderful.
Portillo's is good, but I couldn't do the cake shake because they said the chocolate cake was made with mayonnaise. And then I just felt gross because I saw the cake and the way it glistened. I'm like, oh, that is a mayonnaise chocolate cake.
You didn't try it?
No. Is it good?
Oh, fuck. Come on.
I know.
I hate mayonnaise. There is not mayonnaise in this home.
I like mayonnaise, but I don't want it in my chocolate cake.
I don't like it.
Okay.
I'll eat the fuck out of that cake any day.
Really?
It's fucking phenomenal.
I just start picturing how they make it with chocolate mayo, and it's just it
it's gross.
It.
I hate mayo in general. It's repulsive.
But it's a really good. Everyone said it's so soft.
So soft. Because
the
of the
frosting.
Mayo. Fluff. I mean, it's like just a little piece of a cloud.
God.
We should go get one right now.
Have you ever tried the cake shake? It's in L.A., buddy.
What?
We're in L.A. You
so
can't get
do you
it.
Not know?
What, there's a Portillo's here?
There's a Portillo's
here. How disgusting
here.
Is that?
Buena Park.
So gross. What about the shake that they put the cake in?
Yeah, the cake shake is delicious.
Fluffy has like 20 minutes on that. He's like, I have a cake shake. Uh-huh. And everyone's like, he's very talented.
Do you know that's fake?
And I would open for
Do you know that's fake?
What?
His weight, that's all. It's a fat suit.
Is it true?
Yeah, he was 119 pounds.
And he's white?
He's white.
He's a hipster from Echo Park. He's a white hipster from Echo Park.
I say that about a lot of my friends. I make jokes like that all the time. Just if somebody's new, like, you know, you obviously aren't gullible like that, but like someone in the comedy community is new and they're like, oh, you know, I met so and so all the time. I always go like Brad Williams, you know, he's a midget. Every time I'll go, that's, you know, that's a bit.
Yeah, it's what he's
that's
doing.
A whole bit.
He's just doing that for the
that's
stage.
A bit. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, he's not.
He actually
sure.
has full legs.
He just folds them up. He folds them up. Miss Pat, not a fat black woman.
Not a fat black
not
woman.
Not even a little.
She's a Korean girl.
She's a small Korean woman. Very quick. Very quick. Maneuvers through the club, puts on the suit, gets in.
Miss Pat is a Korean woman.
She's one of the funniest people. Me, her,
fucking
Bobby.
Fucking hysterical.
Me, her,
dude.
Bobby Kelly, Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Last year, we're at a restaurant. Mm. They bring over 3 wings. Okay. Miss Pat is on her phone, FaceTiming her daughter, going, beat them kids on the phone. Beat them badass kids. Hit them in front of me. Are they acting up? Hit them. And then you hear like, Miss Pat's like, get them, get them. And the kid's like, in the restaurant, the people, the French Canadians are terrified.
Yeah.
They bring over 3 little wigs. It is me, Bobby, and Miss Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Pat calls the waitress over and goes, what the fuck we going to do with these wings? What am I going to put them in my pussy? It was the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life. She's so funny. Me and her, Bobby Kelly, hiked. Have you been to JFL ever?
Yeah.
There's a mountain you can hike up.
Yep.
And me, her, and Bobby hiked up the mountain and then got ice cream at the top of the mountain. It was the funniest
thing. That sounds like a beautiful day.
It was a great day.
By the way, you're hanging out with 3 overweight people now.
They're
2 overweight people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You say you don't do that.
Well, no, they're
out of the country.
Well, we're out of the country, and also that's business.
Business, you're allowed to.
When you go to a party, if you're going to bring another person, this is my only point. You can't bring yourself.
Yeah.
You got to bring somebody else.
That's funny.
You know?
I used to go to Louis with a lot of parties. We would go together.
Louis C.K.?
Yeah, a lot of parties.
Do you know each other?
Very well.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm fighting for the guy.
You look alike.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great, great comedian.
I don't know him at all.
I know you don't.
I met him twice. Actually, he was very nice when he came and did shows at the store, and I really did like him a lot. And, man, I can't wait till he comes back.
Yeah,
I can't fucking wait till he comes back.
Me too.
He's going to do this beautiful big manifesto on stage. It's going to be this like wonderful piece of comedy truth. It'll be like a Chappellian type of
fucking... I hope he comes back with like a Nanette from the other side.
Like he got raped.
Like a genius Nanette.
Yeah.
But for the alt-right.
Did you watch Nanette?
Which everyone is saying he is, which is so stupid. He's not at all. He's actually a very brilliant guy.
No, they say he's a moron.
They're so stupid. Yeah. These fucking dirtbag writers that make $300,000 a year to not die in a writer's room. Fucking pigs, fat slobs. These disgusting pigs.
Did you watch Nanette?
Of course.
Yo, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It wasn't for me, but I'll tell you this. Some of the specials after that have made Nanette look like Bring the Pain. I didn't know how good Nanette was. I watched some special. I'm like, oh, fuck. Nanette is great.
Yeah.
You see some comedy in LA, you're like, Nanette is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing, man. It was not nearly as annoying as the press that surrounded it. Like all those articles were like, comedy's over.
Right. Right. But that was one voice. Just like the other voice that was saying, like, this is the revolution of comedy. I also disagreed with so heavily. It's like, no, this is not the future of comedy.
We don't really need anyone to write about comedy
anymore. That's the biggest problem with comedy.
We don't really need anyone writing about it. We have the fans. They can tell us. We actually don't need your
reviews are ridiculous.
We don't need your shitty think piece that's written from your MacBook your father bought you, and your dad's paying your rent, and you're sitting there and firing off these dumb articles. Right. You know, close it all down. Shut it down.
They have a job. They have a job to do. That's like when anything is written.
They do have jobs, and I don't mind. Listen, I don't mind. It is what it is. It's all bullshit. When you were talking to me, I love bringing things full circle. I'm very good at this.
Yeah.
When you're talking to me about being a parasite and being a vulture, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Everybody in their own way is just cannibalizing everybody else's shit. So they cannibalized the art that was made, and then people cannibalized the critiques, and then everybody cannibalizes everybody, and that's it. And then we all eat each other, and it makes way for new life.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We eat each other, we shit each other out, and that births into
That's why
earth.
You have to eat them. You have to eat the pain. And well, you that's go, what they oh, say. You can't wait around for people to falter and then eat their pain. No, you have to eat
you
their
have
pain.
To eat their pain.
You
for
have
them.
To cannibalize their pain. Because if not, the lizard people will do it. And if the lizard people do it, they're going to get all the benefits of the negative energy. You have to eat the negative energy. Eat the pain.
Who's the head lizard now? Do you know who it is? Is Joe Biden lizard? Somebody told me he was lizard.
He'd like to be a lizard.
Yeah, he can't make it? Biden can't make it as a lizard?
He's kind of a lizard.
Yeah. But not fully?
No, it's always... Here's the thing. There is no head lizard person. They all shift. And that's the thing with people. What people don't understand about conspiracies, they think it's one group or they think it's five guys in a room with cigars. It's actually, and this was a guy that said this on my show, it's just society at the highest levels perpetuating itself. That's all it is. It's not neat and it's not clean. It's people that will go to war with each other immediately. But when they're faced with a common enemy, they'll band together. Because they have that solidarity. It's people that are in big business, government, media, all over the place. Wherever they are, Hollywood, they're just they're at the apex of society, and they'll do anything to stay there. Anything. They'll arrange the game in any way that it is favorable to them. And the ways of doing that would blow people's minds. The ways that people maneuver, the ways that they can exert control on other people would fascinate people.
Yeah.
That, I think, is what's truly fascinating. When you look at these fucking senators and congressmen that all show up to Washington, D.C., and almost immediately they start voting against the interest of their home districts,
right.
The people that they've grown up with their whole fucking lives. Sorry, Ma. You're not getting that fucking implant. Shut up. You go, how did this happen? And then you realize, the pressures that are on them are coming from all these different places. A lot of those people are having extramarital affairs. Some of them have drug problems. Some of them have cheated on their taxes. Some of them are into much worse, sicker things. And there are ways that people can hold them in a place and make them do what they want and make sure that they are useful. And that's what this has been going on for a very, very long time. You compromise people and you put them in the position of doing what you want. And some people don't even have to be compromised because they just do it fucking anyway.
Yeah.
Because they're just in it for the money. But that's, I think, the difference. I don't think people realize how widespread that is and how effective people are at getting people to do what they want.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. But that's all it is. It's not like five people in a room.
No, it's not some. No. It's not some secret club. It's all over the place.
No, it's how do we make this happen? How do we get this guy out of power in a democratically
or how do we put
country?
The right guy into power?
Yeah.
Donald Trump is the best example. They put him into power.
No, Donald Trump's actually, I would say Donald Trump, they didn't care. Here's the thing. They don't care who's in power. It doesn't matter.
That's why they put him there. See, I think he's a good pawn.
I think some of them wanted him in, some of them didn't.
Yeah.
Some of them thought it'd be a good opportunity. Some of them would have rathered Hillary because she played the game for a lot longer. But at the end of the day, these people don't care.
You voted for Ron Paul.
I didn't vote. I just don't vote. I live in New York. I don't care. I voted for George W. Bush once, Obama once, and I stopped voting. Once nothing ever changed,
Obama
once, voting.
But not Obama too?
No, because nothing changed. Obama won. Then you got to get to a certain point when you realize nothing changes.
Yeah.
Nothing real, other than like the social things. That, you know, gay marriage will happen and this will happen and that'll happen. And I'm not saying to totally disengage, but the foreign policy, economic policy, things like that, it's not huge. Like, we're just going to do a lot of what we're, you know, Obama came in and was like, the American military, we cannot do things. And then we're at war for 7 years, drone striking every secret prison, CIA, kidnapping.
It's all the same shit.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Is Trump going
to
win again?
People like to think it matters because then they matter.
Yeah.
Because if that matters, then they, well, I don't know. You got to win my vote.
Right.
I don't know who I'm voting for. You shut up. You shut up. Eat the cake, shake, die.
Eat the cake, shake,
and die.
You
fucking have a say. You don't have a say? Imagine you had a say in Schaumburg, Illinois, eating a fucking heart attack. Imagine someone came to you and said, what do you think the trade policy should be? You don't have this. You've never had a say, but nobody likes that.
Right.
Nobody likes that. It's hard to admit. People want to have, you don't have a say. You think you do because you vote. It's fun. You go, this team and my team and you and me. They don't get, they start, they bomb. Why did we go into Libya? Did anyone explain that? We fund Saudi Arabia. They're doing a genocide in Yemen. They don't ask. They don't go, hello, okay. They don't shut down a Denny's for 5 minutes ago. Everyone, along with your checks, we are going to hand out a slip of paper. Are you pro or against the genocide in Yemen that we're currently funding? Yes, check, no, X. Thank you. We're tabulating ballots. We're going to decide. No one cares what you think. So if you realize that at an early age, like I realize that, you run the risk of alienating people that think you're a bad person. Like people come to me and go, oh, you're a cynical bad person because you don't care about other people. Like, no, I care about other people, but I'm intellectually honest enough to know that nobody came and asked me before they gave Saudi Arabia all these weapons.
Right.
Nobody came and asked me before they backed over. Nobody came and asked me before they went and knocked over five Middle Eastern countries after 9/11. No one came and asked me before they just do this shit. They just do it.
And you're a part of it.
You're a part of it. And you have to sit here and go, okay.
But you know what you do?
Yeah.
You eat the fucking cake shake.
Yeah, eat the cake shake.
Eat the fucking cake shake.
Eat the cake shake. Eat the Pokeball.
Eat the Pokeball, you fucking cake shake loving motherfucker.
Do what you want. Be nice to your brother. Half these people on Twitter that are like, all right, you're humanity. They haven't seen their brother in 5 years.
Yeah.
Be good to the people you can be. You want to force political change? Do it. I'm proud of you. That's not what I do. I make people laugh. Good for you.
Yeah.
If you feel that you can do it, go do it. Great. Edward Snowden thought he could do it. He's in Moscow now. Michael Hastings wanted to do it. His car emoliated right outside of Osteria Mocha on Larchmont.
Right.
Kennedy wanted to do it. Martin Luther King wanted to. You see what I'm getting at here? You see where I'm going here? Obama thought he wanted to do it. And then he goes, I'll just go on Ellen and dance. And everyone went, great, great. Bombs away. And he'll just dance. None of these fuckers care. They just want a president that represents America who's a good faker. Trump's not a good faker.
No, he's a bad faker.
Trump owns the Miss Universe pageant. He's a wealthy, cocky narcissist who's the worst face of the American empire.
He's the American dream.
He's exactly what we are.
He is perfectly America.
There's a great line in the movie Nixon.
Yeah.
It was made by Oliver Stone. Some people didn't like it. I fucking love it.
What do you
fuck
mean? You. I think people like that movie.
I love it.
Yeah, I like
it. A lot of these pretentious cons that have never done anything are like, at the end of the movie, Nixon looks at a picture of Kennedy and he goes, this is the night before he leaves office or close to it. He looks at a picture of Kennedy and he goes, when they see you, they see what they want to be. When they see me, they see what they are. And that's it. When we look at Trump, we see who we are.
Yes.
It's who we are.
Yeah, well, the Kennedys were who everybody wanted to be, this wealthy New England family who lived in the lap of luxury and nothing really mattered and they were all good looking. And Trump is this.
When you look at Obama, guy who, you know, overcame the racial things, all the problems.
What racial things?
Being half black.
He's half black.
He's half black.
Oh, my God.
It's not just the lighting.
I thought it was a lighting. That was a tan.
I used to tell people it was the lighting in Long Island. I'm like, don't worry, Grandma. It's the light. He's Italian, Sicilian. But Trump's who we are. People are uncomfortable. Obama's who you want to be. He's the fucking guy. He's the Jedediah Bartlett, West Wing, Aaron Sorkin wrote Obama.
He's perfect. He's robotic.
Trump. Who wrote Trump? Let's think. Who wrote Trump? Aaron Sorkin wrote Obama.
Yeah.
Who would what? You know, Tarantino wrote Trump. Or maybe directed Trump.
No, it'd have to be like it would have to be Adam McKay.
Adam
McKay did a good job with Vice. Vice was good. It was good.
I mean, I'm friends with Adam, and I know him because we're in the same circle. of Hollywood people that see each other. We live in a similar area. We hang and we don't agree on everything, but we respect each other as talents. Because he's done, you know, The Big Short, and I've done, you know, Side Splitters in Tampa. And he understands.
He gets it.
He gets it. But I felt he tried to do everything in that movie, and he did nothing.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, the acting was fucking good.
Christian Bale's great, but you're...
He's great.
You're an actor. I'm a comedian.
I'm a fucking comedian.
I'm kidding with you. Dan Soder gets so mad when I call him an actor.
Dan Soder?
Yeah.
But he's a good actor.
It's a great actor.
So that's an issue.
I know. I love what people get insulted by in this business. You're a great actor. And you're on a hit show. Shut up.
That's only because comedians have such egos about wanting to always be comedians. There's this comics nonsense.
Comedians should be put in a cage.
Yeah, though they're pieces of shit.
You know the ISIS flame cage?
Know it. Support it.
Comedians should go in the flame cage. That's where they should go in. Shout out to ISIS.
Shout out to ISIS. This actually, this whole thing is being broadcast just there. Just for ISIS.
I would do so well in Syria.
You would murder.
Murder.
Tim Dillon murders Syria.
Because I look like the fat white guy that is a celebrity. Like, that's what they understand about
America.
You're
Kevin James.
They understand that.
Yeah.
And then once I go over, I'm like, you guys have some points. They're like...
Love this guy.
It would be crazy. It would be nuts.
Do you do the road? Side Splitters you joked about? Do you
do
the road?
Of course I do.
Are you on the road right now?
I make money.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm going to...
Plug dates. You want to plug dates?
Mohegan Sun, June 20th through the 22nd. Okay. I'm going to St. Louis Funny Bone, the 27th through the 29th. I'll be at Hilarities in Cleveland, July 19th and 20th. American Comedy Co. in San Diego, August 1st through the 3rd.
Boom. Who do you take with you? Anybody?
TimDillonComedy.com. I used to take an opener out of New York. Now I don't take anyone, really. Well, because now it's harder.
That'll change.
Well, I love taking people. I love.
It's just too lonely, man.
Diversity now has become a thing.
For whom?
For a lot of these clubs. So they want to put, I think they want to put somebody on the lineup who's like a woman or whatever, which I'm totally cool with. So I don't, like.
You just let them do it.
I just can't let them do it.
I like to bring someone if I can, because I don't want to
be lonely. I like to bring somebody if I can, too. I'll check. Like, but sometimes they go, we've already booked someone.
Yeah, no. Well, then just say no. You're the headliner.
That's true.
Yeah, I always like, no, I want to bring someone that I want to bring.
Sometimes I get sick of sharing a room with someone.
Oh, I don't share a room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make the club pay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But see, I like sharing the room. It's fun.
No.
Because sometimes I like to talk to like 3 a.m. No. But then I get sick of it.
I'll go in your room. We'll hang out and then I'll go back in my room. Right. Like when I bring this.
What if I want to rape you?
I leave the doors unlocked.
Okay.
The door's always unlocked.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
So what? Go to TimDillonComedy.com. If you want to go see these dates, go see him live.
It's a lot of fun.
One of the best comics working today. And I it sounds cheap, but I do mean it. I think you're extremely fucking funny.
No, it's not cheap.
Glad you
paid
brought
a lot. I paid $3,500 for him to say this. So it's not cheap at all.
Don't talk about my prices online. Don't talk about my fucking prices. Go to TimDillonComedy.com.
Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'll plug that all in the description. I get yelled at every time people go, you didn't put in the fucking... All right. I'll put it in the goddamn description.
It's coming. Calm down.
It's coming. Please go see him. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all that bullshit. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
I wish we had a camera and a mic over there for you.
You know what? Who cares?
Yeah, you're right.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.